Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. In most of the dioceses, not all, but in most of the dioceses in this country, in the U.S., the Feast of the Ascension has been transferred to the Sunday. But there are dioceses that keep Ascension Thursday, keep the celebration of that feast on the Thursday. So what I'm doing, because it seems to be the majority of dioceses, what I'm doing is I am going to do the readings for the day today. And then when I do the readings for this Sunday, I will be doing the readings for the Ascension, because we will be celebrating it this coming Sunday. Does that make sense? I hope so. There's a bit of juggling going on here. So the Thursday of the sixth week of Easter is taken first from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. He went to visit them, and because he practiced the same trade, he was a tent maker, Paul was, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Every Sabbath he entered into discussions in the synagogue, attempting to convince both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began to occupy himself totally with preaching the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. When they opposed him and reviled him, so here's another instance of the suffering endured. When they opposed him and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of all responsibility because I've declared the truth to you. Now it's up to you. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So Paul, who is preaching to the Jews, now goes to the Gentiles. So he left there, and he went to a house belonging to a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next to a synagogue. Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord. So you see that crossing over. People are being touched, whether they're Jew or Gentile, they're being touched. Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord along with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. Brothers and sisters, again and again, the grace that came to one expanded. Remember the jailer, his whole household in the middle of the night are touched by what's happened. And the whole household says to Peter that they want to be baptized. Now you have a whole group of people here who are listening to what Paul's saying. And the Jews revile him, but there are other people, and probably some Jews as well. The Gentiles are being touched, and they're changing. And even Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord along with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. Think about this. I am sure in this program, to most of you are baptized Christian, baptized Catholic. Are you living out your baptism? Read the catechism. Water was poured over you that you might be cleansed of the effects of original sin and that you might become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you living that out? It's a big decision, and it needs to be made. You don't drift into heaven, as I so often say. You don't drift. You need to make decisions. because the world, the flesh, and the devil will do everything it can to pull you away. And then the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while later, and you will see me." Must have been confusing. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What does this mean that he is saying to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." So, what is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he means. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. I think they're all a little embarrassed. I can't figure this out. So, are you discussing with one another what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. Jesus knows that he will die in the flesh. He knows that he will be resurrected. And that's why he says to them, you will weep and mourn. You will grieve while the world rejoices, but your grief will become joy. Joy is not just happy, happy. Joy is it's like a deep river that runs through you. Joy that I belong to God. Joy that God knows me. Joy that God loves me. Joy that God wants to help me on my earthly path. Joy that God uses me to bring his word to other people or to serve other people in some other way. There's joy in that. I am a disciple of Jesus. I am a son or daughter of God the Father. And this is not some far-off God, you know, who's in the heavens. This is God who is with us by the power of his Spirit. God is with you. God is here. God loves you. You can't see him. You can't use the normal things we use as human beings, our five senses. That's what we use. And they don't... What we need to know about God is not going to come through our five senses. It's going to come, first of all, from our faith to say, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I do so desire to believe your word, but it sounds too good to be true. Help me. Help my unbelief. Help me to know you. Help me to love you. And when we say those kinds of things to God, it opens, in a sense, God's heart is always open to us, but it opens God's heart very wide because we're inviting him in. And God only comes when he's invited. So invite him. Invite him into your heart. Invite him into your lack of faith. Invite him into your fear. Invite him into your hurt. Invite him into your anger. Invite him in to every aspect of your life and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I welcome you. I invite you. I remember the first time I prayed that, I think I kind of had clenched teeth because I wasn't quite sure what God was going to do with this. But I knew that the concerns I had or the fears that I had or whatever from life itself weren't going to be resolved just by trying to fight my way through them. I needed a God who could save me. So I cried out to him, help me, Lord, help me. And he did. It didn't come in a tidal wave or something like that. It came very quietly and very slowly. But as I started looking back on month after month, I could see that this change had occurred in my life because I invited him in. He won't force himself. And I invited him in every day. And I invited him in. And those times when I could most doubt his presence. No, circumstances would be such that I'd think, I wonder if there is a God. But I would say, Lord, I invite you, come in, come into my life, come into my heart. Lead me in the way you want me to go. And he did. Slowly, quietly, but it changed my life. All of us need to, in a certain sense, ask God to activate the graces he gave us in baptism and confirmation. Ask God, activate these graces. And God will do that because he so loves us. He so loves us. And he wants us to know that even when we go through hardship, even when we go through difficulty, even when we can't figure out what it is that God's saying or God's doing, he says, amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve. Yes, there are difficulties in life. And yes, you'll experience them. But your grief will become joy. And the way it becomes joy is when we turn to him, when we say, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm tempted not to believe in you. I've lost a child. I've lost a spouse. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and still it happened. Is there really a God? Does God really love me? Or whatever other circumstances in our life, we thought we had a promotion sealed and we were rejected and we need the money. There's all kinds of circumstances that happen in our lives that shake. They can shake our faith, what little faith we have. But if you start saying to the Lord, help me to see what you're doing. Help me to cooperate with you. Help me to follow you. God's Holy Spirit very quietly will start working in your life because you've invited him. The graces are there, but they often lie dormant. It's our will that has to embrace them and say, I need you, Lord, and I need the gifts that you've given me. I don't know how to activate them. When we do that, and then read the catechism, read the scriptures, let your mind begin to be formed and shaped by the truth, not by the commercials on TV or on the computer or whatever device you're using. If you are doing that, you're letting your life be shaped by falsehood. You're letting your life be shaped by a reality that is very, if there's any truth in it, it's very small. The only one whose promises you can absolutely count on are the promises of God for you. So as we celebrate these feasts, as we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord, that we will celebrate this Sunday, if we open our hearts to God's action on our behalf, the gifts that God has given us, and ask the Lord, activate these gifts. Help me to respond to the gifts you've given me. You, a year from now, will be a different person. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.